Well, welcome back. And with us right now is an old friend of Smith Sabatino. He's been on, excuse me, I had to clear my throat here because I'm so excited that Alan Marcus is with
us. Alan will do that
once again. Alan, I'm going to give you the personal privilege for the first time on Smith Sabatino of introducing yourself. So how would you like people to know who you are that may not know who you are?
I'm a friend of Rollin Smith's and Carl Sabatino's.
No, come
and
on. And
this message has been paid for by the sponsors.
Yeah, right. Are you running for anything, by the way?
I'm the only one who's not.
So it seems. Well,
that's
okay.
Rollin, that's why you're stuck with me.
Since
but
you...
for the benefit of your audience, Carl and I have been friends for quite some time, but Rollin and I have been friends, colleagues. We've worked together. I was an analyst for Rollin for many years. Probably going back about 20-some years. And frankly, he's the best news anchor I ever worked for. And Carl has a breadth of knowledge about just about everything that surpasses almost everybody. Rollin and I, of course, excluded.
So, okay, so if I put it, if I had to synthesize what you just said, I would say that you and I know everything that can be known, and Carl knows the rest?
Yes.
an easier introduction is Alan Marcus is a heck of a guy.
Also one of the finest political analysts going.
I appreciate that.
Delighted to have you back on Smith Sabatino. Wow. We've got a political arena here in about 14, 15 different rings. What's your take and what's going on with the Republican Party?
Well, I think people are missing something, Rollin, and what they're missing is the attraction of Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
You know, as you know, Donald and I know each other quite well. You and I interviewed Donald on 9/11.
Right.
I worked with Donald for a number of years. I can tell you that Donald is not a chief executive, but he is a great brand manager, or at least has been up until now. He is not a flash in the pan. He's hitting a chord that is a very important chord to middle America and to those people that the intellectual communities of the East and far West often ignore. The other night, he took on an anchor on CNN who challenged him by saying, well, you were once a Democrat. And Donald came right back and said, and so was Ronald Reagan. And that is really the key to the Trump mystique. He says things, however abhorrent they may be, that strike a chord with everyday people who have the same vote that you and I have. This worked for Nixon when you had the silent majority that spoke out, Republicans, Democrats, Independents alike. You had this with Ronald Reagan when people were proud to say, I'm a Reagan Democrat. Pete, when the Republicans say, well, Donald is really not a Republican or he doesn't represent Republican values, people don't care about that. You know, 10% of the people care about that. The rest of the people say, I may not like the way he says it, but I kind of agree with him on immigration or on attacking the very lazy news media, you know, who look to pick and demean candidates rather than let them talk. I think, you know, Rollin, I must say that a lot of the journalists today remind me of officials in sports. They forget that the people are in the stands not to watch them, but to watch the players.
Well, that's true, but, you know, I have to nitpick here for a quick second.
Sure.
The fact that he's talking about immigration, I understand. He's talking about other things. But the fact that he attacked John McCain, who is a legitimate war hero, and said that he was not, I think that was a faux pas in the political arena.
Oh, I think it was a huge faux pas, but Donald will never apologize. I mean, I know Donald well. Donald has never apologized in his life, and any of our listeners, you know, you can bet the ranch he's not going to. He'll backtrack. He'll say he was misinterpreted, but he will never, ever apologize. And he made a mistake that was stupid. And for the record, I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but I know him, and I think the calculus is people are forgetting why he's surged to the top of the polls.
Alan, I wanted to ask you a quick question.
But let me just one other
thing. Yeah, please, go ahead.
The biggest thing he said that they wasn't the attack, I think, on McCain, who I happen to like personally, and I think Donald was absolutely off base, and it was awful. But he also kind of mocked the sacraments of communion at a born-again Christian meeting, which shows that Donald is totally without a filter. You know, it's ready, fire, aim with Donald instead of ready, aim, fire. But that was lost because the media picked up only on the McCain issue, which is somewhat understandable. But I think the issue about, well, I have the wine and I taste the cracker, and it's the only wine I drink. By the way, I don't think he does drink that one because he never drinks anything alcoholic. I think that probably hurt him more with that emerging base, if you will. Carl, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I wanted to ask you, because we're going to keep you on for a second segment. This is good stuff. But I had heard through my sources as of yesterday that he is already working on the development of an independent party to run outside the Republicans. Your thoughts on that?
I think that that's a possibility. I doubt that he's working on anything. That's long-term planning. Donald has never planned long-term in his life. Donald, you know, you're not going to see any policy papers coming out of the Trump campaign. Donald's idea of research is reading the newspapers, and only the first paragraphs. I think that he's being urged to run a third-party candidacy. I think he toyed with it some years ago. And he might do that because I think he's starting to enjoy the spotlight and the spectacle of what's going on with this. He's always wanted to run for president, Carl. I remember him doing this back in the 1980s. He did it in the 90s. I talked him out of it once by pointing out he was going to have to release his income tax returns, and that had a chilling effect on that candidacy. But I think that your sources may be on to something. I think, in fact, there was an online story in the New York Times earlier today that suggested that there are people reaching out and urging him to do that. If he does that, Carl, it probably means that the Democrat gets elected.
Without question. Without question. You're absolutely correct.
Well, you know, I don't know if you talked about the Times today. I was reading the Washington Post this morning, and there's an article in there by Rosalind Helderman and Tom Hamburger talking about Trump's earnings and his income. He has like 150 separate deals ranging from real estate projects to footwear, to fine foods, to admission fees, even for a New York City carousel. But what was really, he put out a 90-page document to the Federal Election Commission that basically said he had only 15 creditors, four of which he owned $50 million each.
You know, this was the biggest issue I dealt with when I worked with Donald, was what was really his worth. Because Donald, for some reason, feels this need to exaggerate, if you will, or blow up his net worth. Nobody cared about net worth until Donald Trump came along and really coined the term. You know, he doesn't say these are my assets or these are my liabilities. This is my net worth. And it is somewhere between what Donald always claims it to be and what the naysayers say it truly is. Donald Trump is a wealthy man. He's not worth $10 billion. And if Donald would ever grow up and stop thinking that he has to try to impress people with that, he'd be far better off. The reason that you have all those companies is that you do that for liability reasons. It's kind of like if you owned a taxi cab company, you make each taxi cab a separate company to reduce your insurance risk. Donald has, or always had, a number of corporations because of the number of buildings and deals he's in. He now has more licensing agreements and owns less real estate. Less risk, better return for Donald. You know, but he is a successful guy. He's a smart guy. He's a blowhard. He doesn't really care when he asks you how you're feeling. You know, he just wants you to know how well he's feeling. No, all of that is true. Every reporter who writes about him, though, on this issue, really doesn't know what they're talking about. It is such a complex financials that I don't know of anyone, except for Donald, who really knows what they are. And I'm talking about senior executives of the Trump Organization.
Well, I would agree, Alan, and I want you to stick with us for the next segment so we can at least get to somebody else that's in the running. But I want to make one statement.
Well, it's important. Since Donald got in the race, there hasn't been anybody else
I understand.
To talk about.
But my one
he
statement...
He sucks oxygen out of the room.
Hold on a minute, Alan. My one statement as we go to commercial is the American politics used to have intellect behind political principles, and today we only have money.
And we'll hold that thought. We only have money. Stay with us, please. Alan Marcus, Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino, heard on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Networks. Please stay with us.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Someone hurt your feelings or offended you in some way. Or maybe it's a real big wheel political official whose hand was caught in a number of cookie jars. He apologizes. Will the public forgive him? Absolutely. Here's the social science of it.
I'm sorry.
Humans crave apologies. In fact, we rarely stop and ask if the apology is real. It seems that we so crave an apology after we're hurt, we'll accept any kind, even false ones.
It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
We don't like the discomfort after our feelings are hurt, so we go out of our way to look for a reason to be forgiving. What's the cheap psychological trick? Never underestimate the value of a simple apology. Humans are motivated to accept them because it helps the hurt go away. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green. Glad to be with you. Shark populations worldwide are plummeting due to overfishing for shark fin soup in Asia. Sharks play a vital role in ocean ecosystems. And when sharks are killed, severe gaps are created in the food chain. Sharks supply science with endless research, like the fact sharks never get cancer, or that sharks can replace a lost tooth almost immediately, losing up to 30,000 teeth in a lifetime. And that creates one very tired tooth fairy. Some sharks even have two uteruses in which shark embryos swim inside, cannibalizing their siblings until there's only one survivor. But as worldwide shark populations drop, the nonprofit Shark Savers is working with governments to protect these scary but important sea creatures.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.